Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
After 5 marvelous chapters leading us progressively to ultimately see the highest aspect of the church in God's eternal purpose, the new man expressing a full-grown man, and then seeing the church as the bride to satisfy the longing within the heart of Christ, at last we come to the final chapter and the final aspect of the church in Ephesians. And here the scene changes from a positive one with Christ and his loving bride to warfare, a universal conflict, but not between right and wrong or good and evil, a universal conflict or clash of wills, God's and Satan's. It's in this light that we see the church not as the loving bride, even as the new man, but as a fierce corporate warrior. Ron Kangas has joined us for the first program in a series of several touching this matter of warfare in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Ron, glad to have you here.
It's a privilege to fellowship on this crucial matter, and I'd like to comment on one adjective that you used, which to us, frankly speaking, points out something obvious, but it's not obvious to the vast majority of Christians. The adjective I have in mind is corporate. The warrior in Ephesians 6 is corporate. It's not an individual matter. To apply the armor described in Ephesians 6 in an individual way is to seriously violate and go contrary to the revelation regarding the church in Ephesians. The church is a corporate entity. You have the new man, the bride, the kingdom, the household. All of these are corporate, and the living and activity related to them, obviously, is corporate. So I would emphasize this in the beginning, that this warfare involves a corporate warrior. If we are not corporate in reality and practicality, we're simply not involved with this warfare. Whatever we think we might be doing, what's in Ephesians 6 requires a corporate warrior. I'm emphasizing this. I don't want to pain the listeners, but we need a revelation of the fact that the warrior in Ephesians 6 engaged for the sake of God's purpose in this clash of wills, standing with God's and against Satan's, the warrior is corporate. We need to be enlightened concerning this point.
Two things really struck me preparing for this program. That was, I think, number one. The other matter that we're going to get into today that will come up in this first segment, and that is the context of the warfare. It's really in the context of God's will, which is something altogether includes us, but not narrowed and limited to just our own need and interest. That is the real context of the warfare, isn't it, Ron?
We are not the center, and our individualistic concerns and our private situations are not the center. We need a shift in focus, and a radical one, to see that God, His will, His economy, His purpose, these are the center. Spiritual warfare has to have this in view. And I hope that our listeners will be especially attentive to the ministry along this line, because the perspective may appear to be unique or novel. It is unique in that it is God's perspective. It's not novel because it's not a human invention. It's an articulation of the divine revelation.
Let's look at these verses in chapter 6 that really are the context for this warfare. Beginning at verse 10, it says, "Finally, be empowered in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. For our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Very intense and quite profound passage by our brother Paul to set the stage for all this fellowship in the coming days on the matter of spiritual warfare. Let's go to Witness Lee.
In this universe, there are three wills: the divine will, the satanic will, and the human will. In other words, the intention of God and the intention of Satan and the intention of man. Three intentions. Firstly, God's will is eternal. God's will is uncreated. God's will is self-existing. Then God created angels. And the chief angel, the archangel, who was appointed by God to rule that universe, the universe before Adam. This one, because of his high position, and even because of his beauty, prettiness, he became proud. This pride of this archangel, created a devilish intention. And this devilish intention is called the satanic will. And now in this universe, there was a second intention, an intention beside God's intention, a will beside God's will. So from that time in the universe, there were two wills contradicting one against another. So you see, the warfare, the fighting, begin there. By the time archangel pick up the thought to rebel against God, that was the beginning of the controversy in the whole universe. Not only wars after wars after wars in history came into existence, also many other kinds of wars. You see, even between yourself, there is some war, right? War between your reason and your lust. In the married life, you have the separation and divorce, all kind of fighting. Individual against individual, society against society, you see, denomination against denomination, and then nation against nation, people against people, race against race, tribe against tribe, family against family, all kinds of fighting. Do you realize all kinds of fighting come from that one source? The controversy between these two wills, between the divine will and the satanic will.
Ron, I really appreciative of this view of not just our own difficulties, but really all of the conflicts in our whole society, our married life, and every plane. It's not just the context of the so-called spiritual warfare. It's really the source of all warfare and struggle, isn't it?
Every manifestation of warfare, personal, domestic, international, spiritual, has its source in this primal conflict of wills. Before Satan, having become such through rebellion, before Satan began to assert his will to carry out his intention, there was no war in the universe whatever, because there was only God's will, God's intention to carry out God's purpose according to his will and his good pleasure. But this archangel, created with some capacity of volition, rebelled and out of his own things, as the Lord speaks in John 8:44, devised a counter purpose, a counter economy to God. Mm. And this is all asserted by the satanic will. So there is this conflict that is the source of spiritual warfare. Then God created human beings, as we may see later, with a will, so that we would choose God and not Satan, and that we would voluntarily stand with God. Now you have a human being with a will, and through the fall, the human will became aligned with Satan's will.
Mm-hmm.
And so the warfare that's between the divine will and the satanic will is now embodied and expressed in humankind, so that you have war in all kinds of levels and all kinds of aspects. And it appears that that's just a war between one's reason and one's lusts, or an argument between husband and wife, or strife between nations. But actually, all of that conflict is related to the primal clash of wills. And we need to understand this not merely to be clear concerning the nature of conflict. We need to understand this so that we will see that God needs us, by His grace and life power, to choose to stand with Him, so that the human will be in harmony with the divine will and will stand with God against the satanic will. This is the position of the corporate warrior in the spiritual warfare.
Ron, you've already mentioned, we're going to get to it now directly in this next segment. We've presented these two great wills in the universe, or intentions, God's and Satan's, and the clash existing between them. But in the whole realm, there's a third will, of course, that being our will, the human will. As we see in Genesis right in the beginning, God placing man in the garden and giving him the capacity to choose, even in the midst of his expression of his desire, what he wanted man to choose. So man's will is also incorporated into this clash and this struggle. And that's where a lot of the warfare is played out, as we'll see in these coming segments. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
In God's creation of man, God let man have a free will. And this free will is the human will. And why God let man have a free will? Because God is great. You know, a great person would never force people to follow him. God was great. God didn't force man to follow him. If you read Genesis 2, you could see there was a free will with man. God gave man the chance to exercise his free will, because two choices there, two trees represent two choices. You could eat either one. But if you eat this, you get life. If you eat that, you get death. Whether you get death, you get life, it's up to you. You have a free will to choose. So you have a triangle there. The tree of life representing the divine will, and the tree of knowledge representing the satanic will, and Adam representing the human will. You see, it's a triangle situation. God was there, Satan was there, and man was there. All the three persons were there. Everyone has his own will. God has his will, Satan has his will, and man has his will. Now, three persons with two wills, but I tell you, only two parties. And the controversy is always between two parties. Whether God will get it or Satan will get it. Whether the divine will make it or the satanic will succeed. It all depends which side the human will take.
Ron, I think this is some very helpful additional clarification about understanding and receiving light concerning the warfare. Our will is a component, but talk about what he's really presenting here. What is really the relationship in this struggle between these three wills?
I'd like to go back one step to fill in a point that is really a given and which we have considered in other contexts. The enemy, Satan the devil, is a creature. And God, the Creator, will not lower himself to deal directly with a rebellious creature. So humankind was created in the image of God and given the responsibility to represent God with his authority, to the end that a creature, man, would be used by God to deal through warfare with a rebellious creature, Satan. So human beings, created in the image of God and given this responsibility, were created with a will. God wants us, by his grace, to align our will with his, so that God will have a way through the human vessel, a creature, to deal with this rebellious creature. And we need to see that our situation in the fall is that every human being with his or her will is part of the kingdom of Satan and one with the will of Satan. So the Son of God came in incarnation and in the beginning of his ministry began to preach the gospel of the kingdom, requiring us to repent and later, as the New Testament unfolds, to believe and be baptized. This is to bring God's chosen ones out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God, that is, back to God and to God's will, so that God will now have a corporate entity on the earth, redeemed and regenerated people, who are one with him and who can be used by him to carry out the negative aspect of his intention in creating us, the warfare aspect, the aspect of dealing with the enemy. So the human will, by God's grace, I emphasize, must stand with the divine will so that God will have the human vessel, the creaturely vessel that he needs to deal with this lawless creature, Satan the devil. So it's of utmost importance that we realize the place of the will, humanly speaking, in relation to this conflict of wills, that the Lord needs to gain us fully so that we are one will with him and we are in harmony with him on the level of the will. Then the Lord has at least the makings of a corporate warrior to deal with this lawless one in his universe.
You made reference in this portion to Matthew 4:17, the verse we really want to come to in the last segment, and I think it's a good setup. We'll have just a little bit of time when we finish with Witness Lee to come back to it. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near." And we're going to see that matched with Colossians 1:3, "who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." God's will fully represented in all of these passages by the kingdom. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Now the gospel comes. And the first commandment of the gospel is repent. Don't think in the gospel there's no commandment. The first commandment of the gospel is repent. And the second one is what? And believe. And the third, what? Be baptized. Repent, believe, and be baptized. Repent unto God, believe in the Lord Jesus, and be baptized in the water. Then what? Hallelujah. You are saved. Do you know what is to repent? It's to have a turn. The human will took side with the satanic will already. You know, we were born into that side. When Adam chose Satan, we were in Eden. We were included there. Jesus came to declare the gospel. He says what? Repent. What does repent mean? Turn. Don't remain in that side. Repent for the kingdom. And what is the kingdom? The kingdom is just the divine will. In other words, you sinners are in the side of Satan. You have to turn. Turn to the side of God. And the side of God is the kingdom. The side of Satan is just the will of Satan. Now you have to turn from that will to the kingdom, to the will of God. turn from the will of Satan to the will of God. Okay? You repent. Hallelujah. You will say, what should I do? I'm a sinner. Okay, the second commandment is that believe in the Lord Jesus. You say, praise the Lord, I believe. What should I do? Be buried. Be baptized in the water. The real baptism is what? Is to baptize you out of the power of darkness. That is out of the satanic will. Into the kingdom of the beloved of God. This is into the divine will.
Ron, we've already seen that the battle, the struggle, is related to how our will, this third will, is aligned in the struggle. And against that context, against that backdrop, how do we understand these three things, repent, believe, and be baptized?
As we indicated, as what turned out to be a preface to this segment from Brother Lee, and as Brother Lee made powerfully clear, we may say this simply, every fallen human being is a constituent of the kingdom of Satan with a fallen human will under the control of the satanic will. No one on the whole earth is for God or on God's side, period. The Son of God comes to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and the object of his preaching is to bring God's chosen ones out of the kingdom of Satan, the authority of darkness, and to transfer them into the kingdom of God. And that requires, first, repentance, a change of mind issuing in regret, a renouncing of the kingdom of Satan and the will of Satan, and receiving of the kingdom of God, the will of God. This repentance is saying no to Satan and yes to God. Then we need to believe into Christ through the faith given to us by God in his grace. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe into an organic union with him and are justified by grace through faith. And based upon justification, we are born of God, the Spirit. Then we need to be baptized as a way of testifying that we are dead to the kingdom of Satan, and as a way of testifying also that we are raised from among the dead to be one with Christ in his resurrection, to enter in fully into the kingdom of God, that is, into the will of God, so that our will becomes one with God's will to fight on God's side against God's enemy in this spiritual warfare, which has its origin in the conflict of wills.
Marvelous summary and recap of a very enlightening portion in the life study of Ephesians. Let me mention to our listeners who are looking a little bit ahead, after tomorrow's program, which will somewhat, I think, complete or continue the line of fellowship we've had today, as we have been focused very much on these three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, and seeing the progression of the church in these chapters, the new man, the bride of Christ, and now just introducing the warrior, we're going to take a two-week period to insert some highlight programs, all dealing with this understanding of the church as the bride of Christ, the wife of Christ, the loving counterpart from Genesis, and we'll touch some points from Exodus and then Romans and Revelation, all life studies we've completed in the past that really reinforce and develop this point, a high point in the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. So that's coming up after tomorrow's program. Then we'll come back to Ephesians 6 and really dive into this matter of warfare in more detail. So Ron, invite you back after we finish this little insert that's coming up, and thank you for your fellowship today. As always, I got a lot from it.
I'll look forward to joining you when this blessed insert has run its course.
Amen. Well, our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. We invite you to contact us about the printed material and our mailing address, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. So join us again tomorrow. We'll continue in Ephesians chapter 6. For Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wild. Thank you very much for listening today.
Witness Lee's remarkable commentary on the life of Abraham, taken from the life study of Genesis, is now available from Living Stream Ministry in a single volume entitled Abraham, Called by God. Abraham, Called by God by Witness Lee is available at Christian bookstores everywhere, or you can order by calling 1-888-543-3788.